Celebrity culture is so weird. Can we just put that out there this morning? But as weird as it is, we can't help but at least glance at the tabloids in the checkout aisle of the grocery store, right? As they beckon to us to read their tell-alls about new romance blooming, and maybe more interestingly, right, the splits in the romances we thought we knew. And it really is all sort of bizarre, because we've never met these people. Why are we so interested in them? You're going to be able to tell from my references here that I'm a little out of the loop, but what makes us need to know about Bennifer or Brangelina? Does anybody remember those? I'm like 10 years late, I know, but I'm trying here, so work with me. But I guess part of it might be that as long as there's been television, at least, these people have become a fixture in our worlds and in our routines, because through the magic of the screen, they come into our homes. They're a part of our daily rhythms sometimes. They bring with them into our homes, of course, all sorts of unrealistic expectations about beauty and body shapes and wealth. But it's really weird, because as much as we have opportunity to see them in our living rooms and in our bedrooms and in our kitchens, they don't ever see us, right? As much as we might feel like we know these celebrities, or at least their personas, their characters, they don't know us at all. And since now we've moved beyond TV as the primary method of celebrity following, now that you can keep up with your social media account of choice and see what your favorite stars are having for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I doubt that our obsession has gotten any healthier at this point. But there's an interesting phenomenon with celebrities that we sort of idolize, because it turns out that in real life, pretty often, these people aren't who we thought they were, and they're not sometimes who we want them to be. If you look at this online, there's a whole genre of stories on the internet about people meeting the celebrities that they had always loved, only to find out what? That these people are not who they thought they were. That these celebrities that they've watched for decades sometimes and idolized, well, they're real people who can let you down. Real people who are sometimes tired and cranky, real people who often were not who we thought that they were. I think maybe something like this is going on with Jesus and these Greeks in our gospel lesson today. I'm just not sure that Jesus is who the Greeks thought that he was. They must have heard something about him. Probably something about the fantastic signs that he was performing. Because I have to assume that when Jesus goes around feeding the thousands and walking on water and healing the blind, raising the dead, word must get out about that sort of thing pretty fast. So presumably the Greeks have heard this amazing stuff that Jesus is doing, and so they come looking. But it may be that Jesus isn't who they thought he was. Because when Philip and Andrew get word to Jesus about these Greeks who want to see him, Jesus doesn't do some fantastic, magnificent sign for them. What he does is launch into this little teaching monologue, and I'm guessing that's not what they were looking for. Really, we don't even know if the Greeks were there to hear what Jesus has to say. But it's as if Jesus is saying to them, they want to see me, or he could just as well be saying it to us, you want to see me? Listen up, because this is what it means to really see me. Really seeing me is not getting your own personal glimpse of the signs and wonders that I've done. It's not getting your belly filled with bread at one of my miracles, or catching a glimpse of me as I walk across the water, Jesus seems to say. Really seeing me is not just seeing what you want to see, a miracle man or a God you created in your own image. You want to really see me in all of my glory? This is what it looks like. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, this is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, Jesus says, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. You want to really see Jesus? You want to really know what Jesus is all about? This is it. Being lifted up on the cross to bring all of humanity into right relationship with God. The whole unpleasant business of the cross, it doesn't seem to be an unfortunate accident, right? Jesus says, should I be distressed about this and ask God to stop it from happening? No. This is the very reason that I've come here. What does it mean to see Jesus? To see him as he is? What is at the core of the truth about Jesus? What is his identity? It's the cross. God's plan of love for the redemption of the world. To really see Jesus is to see very God suffer, die, and be raised for our sake. The cross, as cruel an instrument of torture as man has ever conceived, the cross is appropriated by God for the salvation of the world that God dearly loves. This is what Jesus looks like. This is what it is to see Jesus. We don't know. The story doesn't even tell us if these Greeks ever find Jesus. We don't even know if they hear any of what he has to say here. But we do know that by being lifted up on the cross, Jesus dies for the Greeks' sins. He dies for your sins, and he dies for mine. And we hear from Jesus that for those Greeks and for us to really be in touch with Jesus, to really see him, is to see God's will for humanity accomplished by way of the cross. It's maybe not what the Greeks were expecting, probably not what we would expect, but Jesus doesn't seem to be what anyone expected him to be. Unlike the grouchy celebrities of the world, though, when we meet Jesus, even though he's not what we were expecting, he does not let us down. He's so much better than we could have imagined. And even if we don't see him always for who he really is, here's the interesting thing. Jesus sees us for who we are, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And even knowing all there is to know about me and you, he loves us in spite of what he knows. Loves us so much that very God is lifted up on a cross and in a resurrection, destroying the power of death and freeing us from the stranglehold of sin. So, we who would seek Jesus, who wish to see him, will gather, certainly on Easter Sunday in a couple of weeks, to celebrate God's triumph over death. But also, next Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, to hear about the handing over of Jesus by Judas. We'll hear about his passion, his suffering, and his death. Not because we relish the violence of it all, but to remind ourselves that God's love for us is so strong that Jesus takes all of this on, goes to the cross willingly for you. What tremendous love. That, brothers and sisters, may not be the Jesus that the Greeks were looking for, It may not be the Jesus we always think we want or need, but it's who Jesus is, the God who goes to the cross for us in love. And it's a Jesus that we would be blessed, we are blessed to encounter and to see. Thanks be to God. Amen.